If I do not defeat Chris Jericho at Full Gear, I will never challenge for the AEW World Championship again. Chris Jericho, that is a very big if. It's not an encumbrance. It's not an albatross that is going to sit on your chest and weigh you down. It is going to vanish. You've taken to calling my lot entitled millennials. You've called me an entitled millennial bitch.
Damn.
I neglected to read in your best-selling book, A Lion's Tale, which you can get on Amazon for $3.
The shade. The fucking shade.
Or at any flea market. I neglected to read about the upbringing you had that was so hard. You talked about my silver spoon. Gosh, it must have been so difficult being the upper class son of a famous hockey player. It is almost like we shared the exact same silver spoon, you stupid dick.
Nobody ever talks about the fact that Jericho's dad played for the New York Rangers. That's crazy.
Dismissed.
I honestly didn't know. It's not like I put that much thought into Jericho's life.
You've talked about my father. Well, you call me an entitled millennial. I call you a carny succubus because the dirty secret about you, the dirty secret is you need this generation more than it needs you. And you've surrounded yourself with impressionable youth. This isn't about my dad. This isn't about the dead, it's about the living. It's about my mother. It's about my sister. It's about my wife. It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
It's Mother Ran, T. Cole, Rock Knowledge, B, Neo X, and producer G1. The Map Mania Podcast. The Southwest Authority in wrestling, hip-hop, and everything in between.
Oh, God! What's going on, y'all? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is the three most important letters in sports, entertainment, digital media on the Southwest. MMP. What's going on, y'all? I'm your host, G1, a.k.a. G1 to the Rescue, host and producer alongside the squad today, as usual.
I guess two out of the four ain't bad.
Yeah, two out of four ain't bad, man. But then we also have a person of some great importance in here, so let's go by the numbers to my immediate right. You know who it is. It's the villain. Go download and go stream Black Phillip right now and all of your major streaming and purchasing platforms worldwide. It's the motherfucking villain, the two-time Phoenix New Times.
Two-time.
Phoenix rapper.
Two-time.
T-Call, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, what up, everybody? How you doing today?
Yeah.
On Sunday,
man. It's our new recording
day. This is the first time we done switched it up. So y'all will be getting this bright and early Monday morning. Start your work week.
Top of the week with Mad Mania Podcast, of course. And then to my immediate left side's the best side. Man, let me tell you, this guy right here, one of my good buddies, one of my, I won't say longtime friends, but it kind of feels that way because we all been running in the same circles for a minute. From our brother podcast, the Steel Cage Podcast, I guess you can support those guys too. Ladies and gentlemen, my homie, Captain Motherfucking Caveman.
Yo, what's happening, fellas?
Good, man.
Happy to be here, man. Happy to be talking about wrestling. It was a fun week. We had fun this week.
I see no drinks with you, but you had some you said before you got here,
I may
right?
have had some drinks before I came here.
What was Would you have something good?
Yeah, there's a little brewery down the street called Ren House that produces a pumpkin beer that I don't really like pumpkin stuff that much. I know
pumpkin
Rock
beer?
I know Rock would love it. Yeah, it's a pumpkin beer, but it's very
high
in alcohol.
Yeah, look who's not here today.
Yeah.
Rock, you could have been somewhere having a pumpkin beer we passed.
Just enjoying it. It was smooth, but
Rock
yeah.
brought pumpkin beers last time. We were here.
He did, and they were really good. They were really. I forgot what brand it was. It was really good.
Yeah. This place down the street, though, is legit. So, no, it's great little spot. Been having actually a lot of fun around Phoenix. There's a lot of spots that I've discovered recently, and I mean, I don't know, man. I've lived here for a long time, and we didn't used to have as cool of bars and restaurants that we have now. So it's a fun time to be living in Central Phoenix.
Mm. I totally agree, man. Like, what I've been learning just within the 10 years off and on that I've been living here is there's so much more to meet the eye, to Phoenix as a city. I mean, technically on the census, it is still the fifth largest city in America, and that's a lot of cities in America. And so to be in top five is pretty crazy.
Right.
So, man, it's a lot of growth. It's a lot of jobs out here. You got a lot of folks, especially from...
Yeah, well, that's the word right there is growth, because as big as it is, it's still building. They're still building outward.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people who've been living here a long time, they've noticed that a lot of old stuff is being either bought and torn down and then revamped, like areas are being rebuilt up.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we're also building culture here, though, because we didn't have a lot of culture. Our culture here was strip malls and shit, you know what I mean? So, like, now that's the cool thing about some of the spots that I went to. You know, they're trying to put, like, well-known restaurants and bars in older spots that were different buildings. Maybe they were some sort of like refinery or something, and now they're making it into a restaurant or whatever. But that's when stuff starts getting cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the culture, because Phoenix being a melting pot where people just come from all over, and then you know, later feet here, you know, make this home.
Right.
I mean, so you get all the different cultures from other places.
There's a lot of us from the Midwest here.
You know, just
right. Just and that's what's beautiful. I love the food you guys brought.
Just like we just got Harold's out here. You know,
yeah,
we just
Harold's
got White Castle
last week
out
for
here.
The first time. They loved it. Harold's, White Castle, Umanati's,
all the pizza places.
Coney Island.
We got Giordano's out in Peoria, man.
Portillo's.
Much love to Portillo's. Even though it's kind of a nationwide thing. Still, I first discovered it at home.
Shake Shack.
Yeah, Shake Shack's legit.
Because I first discovered that at home, so I knew it was a chain, but I first discovered it at home in Chicago. So naturally, when I seen they had a couple of them out here, I'm like, yo. Because now I go to this. Now I go to the new Shake Shack, which is over by the remodeled Apple Store inside of the Scottsdale Mall. Well, not remodeled, new, because it wasn't there to begin with, but yeah, it's still
possessed. And as we were talking about, like, off mic, about, like, movie theaters and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Like, it's so crazy, like, as much as I am in the movies and hearing, like, how ticket sales are going down and the movie theater business is, like, in the dumps and stuff.
How?
Like, there's so many, like, indie, like, I'm calling them indie because they're, like, I guess local or whatever. Like, we were just talking about the Flix Bar house, and then they have the Alamo. Yeah, the Flix Brew House, and the Alamo Draft House is out here. Then you got Harkins and AMC. Like, there's so many different choices of movie theater out here.
It reminds me of these bullshit articles you see where they talk about millennials killing everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I was telling my wife, from my point of view, millennials are just smarter. Like, we're just getting smarter as we go along, right? And so millennials don't want to go waste their money on just a bad movie theater with bad popcorn when they can stay home with their 4K TV and watch a movie in like 2 months when it comes out on Blu-ray, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, so like, I like the fact because of like some of the bars we went to last night were speakeasies and like tiki theme bars, and there was a bar that was inside of a train car and it looked like some shit from Universal Studios and the Hogwarts train. It was dope.
And
like that's the direction I think millennials push things, where people have to be more inventive with their spots.
You have to be more inventive. You have to make shit exciting. It's like motherfuckers wouldn't have enjoyed school so much without that recess. We'd have been fucking miserable.
For real.
There'd have been a lot more dropouts. You got to have that recess. Like, that's so necessary to have like an hour to just not be glued to that motherfucking desk, that little weak ass desk that I first learned how to make beats on. You know, the first drum machine. But yeah, to those people that say millennials killed everything, I won't say all that. I say to you motherfuckers, though.
There you go. Sit your goof eyes down.
No, it's just technology and technology growing and moving forward. Because like you were saying, you know, if, and a lot of the stuff is doing it, like, I'll be like, dang, that movie is out of theaters already and it's already printed up on DVD or they're already selling it like a month later.
Yeah,
so now with streaming stuff or whatever, like,
it's even faster.
Disney app is about to have
everything
in-game on it already.
Yeah.
Well, streaming stuff, you know?
So the X-Men cartoon, the Spider-Man cartoon, the Gargoyles cartoon, every fucking Marvel film.
Oh, like, also, and The Simpsons,
and
by the way.
Every season of The Simpsons. Disney Plus, I told motherfuckers this a while back ago when they first announced it. Netflix and chill finna be played out. It's finna be Disney Plus with her titties sucked.
Well, I was just saying, I was trying to actually get to the point about how quickly things go to streaming, because even some of these movies, the day that they're released, they're also on streaming.
So it's like
I go on the AMC app and see that you can stream movies that are still
in
the theater.
They got an app.
Well, like, and I also see there's times I want to see movies in theaters and it's already out of the theater by the time I like get around to it. You know, like I was busy a month or whatever and it's gone already, right? Yeah. So that's part of it, man. I mean, but
you got to try to hit the pole lot.
I don't know.
They be having the, you know.
$3.
Hey, you know what I'm saying though? Like, hey, for real, Applebee's is the best example of how they embrace the millennial culture, right? Applebee's was a failing restaurant chain and they just decided to fully go in on like the college student and what the college student wants.
The prices. And they be having these
cheap drink specials.
Dollar margaritas, yep. Dollar cranberry exactly. And vodka. Like, what are the fucking odds
right.
That a failing chain would just be like, you know what? We, in order to get something you never had, you got to do something.
Nighttime. Nighttime.
It's one of those things that like Applebee's was expensive as fuck, right? Yeah. I mean, it's expensive as any other restaurant you would go sit down on, and the food wasn't that good. People figure that shit out, and then that's how your restaurant kind of goes down the tubes, right? So if you just kind of embrace like, hey, our food's kind of bad, but at least it's cheap, and so are the drinks. People are going to be like, you know what? I like you. It's cool. Right. I know it's not that great, but I'm broke, and I want to come sit down at a restaurant. So
yeah, they got like nighttime reverse happy hours and shit.
All sorts of shit.
Some of them be having karaoke, like.
Yeah,
I think what G1 said though is the big thing. Like I always see those drink specials, like dollar vodka drinks,
and they put
whatever.
That shit right on.
That's
Facebook
what I'm saying.
Too.
When you have the reverse happy hour, I go there at night. Like, oh, y'all got dollar, whatever.
Give me whatever. I don't even care what it is. Give it to me. Whatever your drink special is.
I know it's the bottom shelf of whatever it is.
I ain't too proud to beg.
Not for a dollar, you better not be.
But hey,
you drinking rubbing alcohol and juice.
Yo, but
not even juice. You getting drink some rubbing alcohol and some drink.
Tank. Rubbing alcohol and drink sugar water and red.
Sugar water, red, rubbing sugar. Alcohol,
water, red.
Hey man, so listen, people, our people on social media, if you know of any great places that you think Matt Mania should go, especially for those of you in the Phoenix area, but really anywhere because we get around, we travel too. So if you know of any places that you think we should check out as far as bars, speakeasies, movie theater type shit, even like arcade bars, we're really heavy into that too. Let us know. You know to hit us up on Twitter at Matt Mania Podcast and of course at Matt Mania Pod on Instagram. Yeah, man, let us know. And then thank you also to our Patreon subscribers because it's this great, great, great thing that you do that no other listeners do. And what is that, gentlemen?
Pay that money.
Yes, indeed, man. Hey, so again, we appreciate you. And of course, we're going to have a Patreon episode coming for you guys soon as well. But man, let's get into putovers. And since we have a special guest here today, we're going to see what he's feeling. I mean, we got a bulk of it with bars and shit. But if you had a particular thing, Captain K, man, we're going to let you go first for today's putovers, my friend.
And I'm sure you guys have put this over before, but I'm going to put over Dolomite Is My Name on Netflix.
Yes.
I can't express enough like how big of an Eddie Murphy fan I am, right? But the weird part about Eddie Murphy is like a lot of people know, ever since the shit he got into, ever since the whole Nutty Professor thing, we just haven't had the real Eddie Murphy, you know. And just the first 2 minutes into that film,
my God,
is it, like just that opening line, just the. You know, people love me. Just that. Motherfuckers play my record. Play my record. You know, just all of that shit. Like, I knew the minute that movie started that this was going to be an enjoyable, great experience. I didn't know that it was going to be as good as it was. Like, it was such
It was actually kind of serious role for Eddie Murphy.
Right.
It was a healthy amount of comedy, but it was comedy that made sense according to the story. It seemed very real. I remember Rudy Ray Moore just from my brothers being older than me and watching like Human Tornado and Mac and all that shit. But like, I remember seeing Rudy Ray Moore in some of those earlier things that he did. And like, number one, I would definitely credit him as one of the godfathers of hip hop because not too many rhyming like Rudy Ray. You know, like, man. But other than that, this is probably the best impersonation of Rudy Ray Moore I've ever fucking seen.
It's just, you know, and the thing about it is like, Eddie Murphy, he's played a lot of different roles. It's like you said, and obviously some of his best work was early on, Beverly Hills Cop, where that balance of it being a serious movie, but his comedy being in there and being the perfect amount, right? But this particular movie, I mean, I don't know, man. I think the thing is, like I said, it's not like Eddie Murphy hasn't been active. It's not like Eddie Murphy hasn't been making money in Hollywood. You know, he made so much money off of Shrek. It's undescribed and describable. Enough to
yo, so what do you think about his movie career? Because I feel like Eddie Murphy got some stinkers in there, man.
Of course he does.
I feel like Disney be fucking people over, man.
I think
that Haunted Mansion, and then what's the movie he did where he was where he was the alien, and like it was an alien inside Eddie Murphy's body, and so it almost was like Men in Black.
Yes.
Yeah. You know the movie I'm talking about?
I know
about?
Exactly what you're talking about. But the problem...
You're looking weird. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, because...
Outer shell was Eddie Murphy, and then it was somebody inside Eddie Murphy's head. So Eddie Murphy was basically like an android robot in the movie. Okay.
Here's the thing, is... Eddie Murphy got caught with a transsexual prostitute in his car, right? And then you see
people stop talking about that.
Well, it's
because he did Dr. Doolittle.
It's not just that
shit.
Well, it's the fact that from that point on, you could tell like there was almost an active effort in his career to make him more wholesome, so that people
just like
forgot
R. Kelly,
that, right? And it was a success. You know what I mean? It's not to say it was necessary. You know, like sometimes you just whatever it happens.
Just like Bill Cosby.
Life. Oh, man. Oh, no. One of the members...
It's the reason Bill Cosby started telling people to stop sagging their pants and pull their pants up.
One of the dudes from the Steel Cage was telling me how they were going to see Bill Cosby a long time before all of the stuff went down. Long time. 2004. You know, long time before the accusations came out. And, man, there was somebody that... straight up just told him at the time, like, you know, you might want to look into Bill Cosby's accusations against him. And they were like, yeah, whatever. And they went and saw him anyway. But then they found out, like, years later, like, that lady was right.
Yo, that's why it's so funny, even when Hannibal Buress brought it back up.
Oh, God.
And people were saying, like, oh, he's the reason that, you know, Bill Cosby went to jail and all this stuff. And Hannibal was like... I was saying some shit that I thought everybody already knew,
right? They were making, like, they were making jokes about it on 30 Rock before he even brought it up in his stand-up.
So
right?
It's like, you know? just because you re-brought it up in the current, you know, state of the culture,
sure,
is why it went to the lengths that it went.
Yeah,
because obviously, like the R. Kelly shit, we not wanting to talk about him on the show, but the stuff that he was doing, everybody already knew.
Right.
And people like knew and then forgot about it because he did I Believe I Can Fly and shit like that. And they're like, oh yeah, R. Kelly's good again.
But you know what it is.
But it's right? Like then when he came back out again, then they're like, oh no, this shit won't stand in this culture.
Every single person was like, my mind is telling me no. But my body.
My ears are telling me.
My body
me
is telling me yes.
And I mean,
she would have just moved out the way.
You're right.
Well, and see, that's the wild shit about Eddie Murphy is, right? Eddie Murphy didn't even do anything really bad, right? Eddie Murphy literally just got pulled over by police with this person in his car that he alleged was a friend that was also happened to be a transgender
man,
prostitute.
It's just black hip hop culture, and it's the what you call it that lies deep beneath it, the homophobia and stuff like that.
That's right,
you know, it's finally starting to, you know, get cleaned up, but back then it's like, even if that's what he wanted to do and what he liked to do, you're trying to keep it on the low.
It wasn't good for the career, right?
Exactly, because now people is gonna try to play you.
Right.
Because you did that, like, oh, he gay. Like, if he gay, that's his business. Right. Like, or if he not gay and he just like chicks with dicks or something. I mean, I don't know. Like, that's.
I mean, we're not shunning Lil Nas X, and he came out the closet.
But he came out now.
Yeah.
Remember how they did Mr. C when they said they found Mr. C
with the
transsexuals? Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like now it's getting at the point where people can be more themselves. But shit, I still remember the time where they were saying that Tiger was fucking with a transsexual or whatever, and that was gonna ruin his career.
I want to shout out to modern day culture for their acceptance of people's sexual preferences, because fucking RVD posted a picture with his wife
and his girlfriend. Yes,
and
sir.
All people said about it was, how fucking brave is he? This guy's so brave. I applaud him for him and his sexual preferences and being brave enough to stand out here and talk about it.
Yo, RVD's got a lot more moves that he's brave for doing than taking a picture with two chicks.
Man,
for real.
Tell you, but man, that's a good little note.
Check out Dolomite. You said it's called Dolomite.
Dolomite is my name.
That's on Netflix, right?
Netflix original series with an ensemble cast of real motherfuckers.
You know, Eddie Murphy is about to start doing stand up again, and he's going to be doing a stand up tour.
That's dope. I'd go see him.
Y'all thinking he's going to be good?
I don't know, man. He's got a lot to say.
Because people keep on talking about, I mean, yeah, his first two stand-ups, they're classics.
Right.
Delirious and...
But if you're taking that much time away, but obviously the same shit is still going on, I'm sure he got a lot of dialogue.
He got a lot
people
of stories.
Haven't heard him speak on anything.
Yeah, but you can lose your delivery, though.
But he gonna regain it. What I like about what he's doing is that
that's why Dave Chappelle,
he's hitting all the independent comedy clubs.
Yeah, that's the same.
That's the same thing
Dave did when I saw him out here Comerica.
Comerica.
I saw him at Comerica. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the same jokes he did there was on the tape special, but that's because he was practicing his material.
That's how it usually goes. Yeah. All I know is if he can deliver on Ambulance like he does in this movie, I have confidence in his delivery. I don't think it goes away. I think he's still funny as hell. This movie was that's one thing was like you said, it's serious and that's the weird part about it is it's a real movie and it's a real story about a guy's life. It's a real story about a dude who believed in himself enough as a star despite the fact that nobody else did and was like, I'm gonna make it somehow. I don't care if it's singing these hokey ass songs. I don't care if it's being a host. And eventually he found his way the fact that he went on to use his own money to try to make this movie. Like, I had this poster on my wall when I was a kid just because I thought it was a fucking cool movie poster, right?
Absolutely.
And it's crazy now. The Dolomite poster.
That's
yeah. Because I used to go to Zia Records all the time and just buy like old movie posters because I thought it was cool. I was like 12 years old
that's
with a Dolomite poster in my fucking room.
Yeah, man. I ended up seeing both Dolomite and Human Tornado on VHS. My brothers were both born in the 70s, 75 and 78 respectively. So, like, I had older influence. So that was all the fuck I knew. I'm the youngest person in this room, but most of my influence all comes from shit that happened before I got here. But
I'm the same way because my brothers were older too. So I was like, sometimes I don't even know why I saw certain movies because when I do the math on it, I was like, I was seven when I
how did I watch Boomerang with a straight face?
Right, anyway, right.
But
either,
yeah, man.
Either one of y'all ever see the movie Mr. Church?
Yes.
No.
Let's move on.
Hey man, let's get into
let's wrap these put overs up in this next couple minutes. Seeing how it's Sunday, and we also lost John Witherspoon a couple weeks ago, I decided to put over Black Jesus, so I went and started watching Black Jesus again.
Oh man, I love that show.
And Black Jesus is currently there's a new season that's been coming on, so I've been watching the third season.
I was kind of surprised by that when my DVR started recording it again. I was like, I don't know why I thought it was a wrap, but I was wow, it's still on. Good.
Yeah.
I love
that
show.
The third season took a while to come back out, but
yeah, but like Slink was touring on all the radio stations before he actually put it out that same week because he was on The Breakfast Club not that long ago. Season 3 came. That interview was funny as hell.
And then, it's got Charlie Murphy in it. R.I.P. to Charlie Murphy. Now it's got John Witherspoon. So it's like...
I'm blessed to say that that was one of the first major comedians I seen just before he died. Charlie Murphy, Cedric the Entertainer, George Lopez, Eddie Griffin, and one other person, they all were on tour together. And when they came out here, me and my wife went to I think it was the Comedy Get Down tour hosted by George Lopez.
That's a good
show. So I got to see Charlie Murphy and all these guys, just before Charlie Murphy died. So that was a blessing. And me and my wife was looking like, hey, he's much smaller than... he was already a small dude, but
really
kind of skinny.
See him being sick.
Yeah, but he was living it. He was up there cracking jokes. He was roasting people in the fucking crowd, whether they were gay, straight. He ain't gonna fuck everybody was getting. I'm like, oh yeah, he the real deal.
So check this out. Let me get him the overview of this real quick. So it's also from the producer of The Boondocks, Aaron Magruder.
Yes, sir.
So this comes on Adult Swim, and the overview says, Adult Swim is never afraid to go beyond the boundaries of what most people consider good taste, so the not necessarily PC premise of this show shouldn't come as a shock to anyone. Black Jesus spotlights Jesus living in modern-day Compton, California, trying to spread love and kindness throughout his neighborhood on a daily basis, mostly assisting in his mission as a small but loyal group of downtrodden followers. The live-action series was created by Aaron Magruder, who, as I said previously, did The Boondocks.
Yes, sir.
You got, as I said, Slink Johnson, Charlie Murphy, Corey Holcomb, John Witherspoon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These are all
Angela
like,
Gibbs.
Yes. These are all, like, the greats of the great, man. So,
like, it's great. Yeah, so... is like 20-minute episodes. So, you know how Adult Swim do it. Sometimes they do 15-minute episodes, but I think all the Black Jesus shows are like 20 minutes. So yeah, go check it out. Like, you can knock through a couple seasons of it real quick. It's just some good, you know. It's Sunday after you get out of church. Yeah. Or on Monday when you get out of work, because that's what I'm going to do when I get off work at 11:30. I go home, watch a couple episodes of Black Jesus before I call it a night.
It's an awesome show, man. Slink does an amazing job.
Yeah, I've seen him do stand-up live at Tempe Improv.
That ought to be a fun show. I'd definitely love to see that. But no, man, thank you definitely for that, T. Man, I'm actually going to put over, and you'll be really surprised. I became a fan of Griselda during the last 3 years that I've known you guys, and I've kind of gotten exposed to a lot of their music.
So it's Griselda.
Shouts out to that whole camp. But more specifically, more recently, West Side Gun's most recent project came out, and I believe that's Hitler Wears Hermes 7, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Name of the project. Hitler Wears Hermes
boom,
7.
Boom, boom.
I understand why these guys are as over as they are, not because they all talented individuals and it's really everything they do is really just a nod to good old fashioned classic hip hop when you didn't need a lot of production grandeur. You just needed a chop sample and some clever words. And the shit worked out so fucking well. And this particular album, I remember I smoked something good. I was sitting in front of my studio desk in my new place because I just moved. And I just was just engulfing in everything. And for some reason, like the cocaine, I want to thank you. No, Pyrex, I want to thank you. He had no words on that damn song other than that and a couple of things. But that's the hardest shit on
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing about
it. It's such a feeling, man. That just, whole album is a vibe, bro.
It's hard to be hard these days, and like not a lot of people want to even go there. And that's the thing is like their lyrics are so ridiculous sometimes, but at the same time, it's them being themselves, and it's so fucking good.
Yeah. Pyrex, I want to thank you. That's my shit. But no, I love that whole album. It's so many solid fucking lyrics, and some of these beats are just fucking phenomenal. Like, man, the in-house guy who they work with, I forgot his name, and then a couple of other great production appearances. West Side Guns, Hitler Wears Hermes 7, solid album. I'm still catching up with all the Griselda shit because you motherfuckers release albums in the same fashion that Lil Wayne used to release mixtapes. So it's really hard to keep up with everything at once. But the stuff that I get a chance to catch, I'm always like, oh, this shit is top notch. I fuck with it. So much love to West Side Gun. Doo, 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 doo. Boom, 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 boom. He was front row yesterday at AEW Full Gear. We'll talk about that in a minute. So speaking of which, man, let's get into some wrestling, man. We're going to get into some of this. They should have never gave you motherfuckers digital marks. Oh, boy. But yeah, man, we're going to get into some of this wrestling news, man. A lot of things happened this past week, of course. Just starting with the WWE stuff, we know we had a lot of the NXT Invasion stuff still happening, man. And on Raw, of course, Seth Rollins, you know, got a taste of all four members of the Undisputed Era, you know, with the inclusion of Adam Cole, Bay Bay. And yeah, man, we want to elaborate a little bit on favorite moments from Raw.
I just think in general, all of the NXT Invasion shit is exciting as hell.
It's been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's weird because it's one of those things. This is why having an actual separate roster versus kind of mashing it all together the way they have with Raw and SmackDown over the past year.
Yeah.
This is why it makes a difference, right? But
absolutely.
I think the other exciting thing is to see NXT attacking in the way that they are. I liked when Imperium showed up. I like just all that.
Whoa,
shit was
I almost
fucking
fell out
hot.
My fucking chair. I'm like, oh, you know them, my
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
Those are my guys.
Yeah.
Like,
and they did it in front of the UK crowd, and then the locker room kind of dumped out. It wasn't just like, you know what I mean?
Well, yo, you just said those your guys, but didn't one of those guys just turn?
One of the Imperium dudes?
Yeah, what just happened where they said that, didn't that happen on NXT this Wednesday? Because it was Imperium and somebody else, and they said that somebody turned on Wolf. So what group is Wolf in?
Wolf is in Imperium.
Yeah, so they said one of the members turned on him.
Oh,
so I think
shit.
One of the members,
I might have low-key missed that.
I think one of the members of Imperium done jumped ship.
Oh,
so look
crazy.
That up and
I'm definitely gonna
and verify that one of y'all.
Sure
we don't normally verify stuff, but
yeah, fuck that.
bear brine everything.
Yeah, you know, but it's been awesome, man. I mean, I think that it's been one of the few things that's worked, and I don't know. Obviously, this was their intention, because before the whole thing with the Saudi trip going south was announced, they'd already made the announcement that NXT was going to be a part of Survivor Series. So I don't think this was like any kind of
a super surprise.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was like a crazy move, but I think it ended up working out really well for that episode of SmackDown.
It just makes for these great dream match type scenarios. Like, right. Who would have ever thought they would see, like, even just going back to last week's SmackDown, that Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole match was fucking amazing.
So, yes.
You know what I'm saying? When you just have shit like that you get to do with this, why the fuck not? I don't care if we knew about it in advance or not. Like, the shit was gold. Super gold, man. One of the things that I really appreciated at NXT, man, was just the dynamic with the OC coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah, the NXT storyline has got the best storyline right now with Finn being on NXT, and then you had the OC come, so the OC jumped.
Such a great scenario.
Jumped Undisputed Era.
Yep.
And then since Finn came out, he jumped the dudes with Undisputed Era, but then Adam Cole jumped AJ, so it's like you got all the Bullet Club members there now.
Each other like,
you don't know.
These are all the leaders. Every Bullet Club leader that we know, with the exception of Kenny Omega, and Cody Rhodes are all in WWE. Every Bullet Club. Adam Cole, Finn Balor, which was the first, and fucking AJ Styles. Like, these are all the super, super, super
right.
Bullet Club leaders. Well, yeah, you got some.
I was just going to say, the thing with the Bullet Club has always been that the Bullet Club leader has always been kind of usurped. So Adam Cole was one of the Bullet Club leaders.
Bang, bang.
And the one cool dynamic with this was when Finn Balor first turned on Gargano, we didn't know what direction it was going with it, right? They were all standing there making the UE signal.
Yeah.
Balor holds up the two guns, you know? That shit was awesome, you know? All of it has been awesome. It's weird, but I think the only failure on WWE's part in this whole thing is allowing all of this to happen on NXT. But maybe it has to, right? Yeah. Like, maybe if this was on the main roster, it just wouldn't be as cool.
Well,
if
NXT
they were doing
is the main roster now, also.
Hey, Tommaso said roster. That. Yep. He said that blatantly. Like, man, everybody always asks me, am I going to go to the main roster? Hey, OC, welcome to the main roster. I love that. That shit is great.
Well,
they ain't getting paid like the main roster.
Because I was worried because since they're doing, like, at Survivor Series, since they're putting the NXT guys in Survivor Series matches, I'm like, well, what are they going to do on TakeOver now? But they got to build these new guys up, and now they're getting to the point like Raw and SmackDown where they have like a lot of guys on the roster
right.
for NXT. So now you got to move these guys over, or you can move these guys over and say, okay, well, Adam Cole or Shayna Baszler or whatever, y'all go fight on Survivor Series. We still got, you know, Velveteen Dream or whoever on that can fight on TakeOver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's
and the do thing. These War Games matches and stuff.
And NXT is going to have that. NXT is always going to have, at least for the current time, they're going to have a surplus of talent that honestly the main roster doesn't have. Because they've built everybody up pretty well. Everybody's had a chance to shine from one point or another. So if they like literally did singles matches, they would have enough. They don't usually fill up TakeOver with a whole bunch of filler anyway. NXT TakeOver is usually limited to about four or five matches, you know, so there's not a lot there for them to have to fill.
Absolutely. You know,
they can have the War Games match, have a couple of title matches, and I think after that it'll be pretty set, you know.
One of the things I really enjoyed on Raw, and I wanted to touch on this briefly, I feel like the women's dynamic now that they're like the Kabuki Warriors are kind of heel-ish. It's been getting kind of good. I actually genuinely enjoyed the tag team match between the Kabuki Warriors, Natty, and Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
That was actually a really good match, man. And I like their whole heel dynamic. And then, of course, Kari Sane, you know, spearing motherfucker towards the end. Like, that shit was fucking... It was a good situation, man. So that shit's getting better. We've seen Cedric and Murphy again on Monday Night Raw. Also another cool match. That one... You know, I've seen them in so many matches at this point. Like, I feel like they left some things to be desired, but we already know what they're capable of. So it's still always fun to watch.
It's a bit of the problem. They lean a little bit too much on guys, and I think that's why they bring up guys like Murphy and Ali, mm-hmm. and covet them. Right? They're like the crowd likes them. These guys can go. But the problem is it's kind of like what's going on with Seth.
Yeah.
Where Seth isn't a special attraction anymore. Yeah. Say what you will about Brock Lesnar, but when Brock Lesnar shows up, it's a big damn deal, right?
Yeah.
But when Seth wrestles on Raw, nobody cares because Seth always wrestles on Raw. Mm-hmm. Seth wrestles every week. He usually wrestles half the show. You know, it's that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right now with Bray Wyatt being champion, I think it's a good time to give Seth a little time off and give people a break from him. I know he's had a lot of frustrations that he's voiced, like online when he was on Graves' podcast. But I really think things come down to it being overexposed, and I'm worried about that with like Ali and you know and Buddy Murphy and stuff. If they keep doing these matches too often, they can go though, and I get that. Like I get using them.
Man, absolutely. So I got a little inside info for what happened on NXT UK. So former Imperium member Ilya Dragunov actually turned on Imperium, and now he's a member of Gallus with the Coffee Brothers. That's kind of dope. That's that's another solid team that we don't talk about much. We got to get more into the UK dudes because they really put on a solid product. If you just like some good old fashioned wrestling. They really do their thing out there, man.
Yeah, they do.
For the UK guys.
Man. I think for me personally, as a wrestling fan that's watched WWE for a long time, the reason why I dig NXT and NXT UK is because they're doing something different.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, there's something different about the presentation. There's something different about the way that they book the whole show.
Absolutely.
Raw, I feel like, has been booked the exact same way for the last 20 plus years. And I just think that's the reason why at times it just feels the way it feels. I mean, I hate to continue to you know cut on rocks. I think a lot of people do, but if you really want to talk about it, I think it's the lack of changing things up. You know,
the lack of new booking.
Yeah, the lack of new booking, and also I mean honestly, well, the same people
felt
producing
any changes
it.
In it since.
I do
since
like
Paul Heyman is supposed to be.
Not a lot. Not a lot. I mean, I'm hoping the direction keeps going in a certain way that I've seen.
I mean, you're not liking the Lashley style stuff.
No, that's exactly what I don't like. You know exactly what I don't like.
That we talked about for 2 weeks straight. Yeah, on the podcast.
We didn't talk about it at all last week. We didn't even talk about it.
We did not go Lashley style last week. You
nope.
Tweaking?
And that we didn't. And that was the episode that Bobby Lashley was making out with Lana over Rusev lifeless body.
Oh,
we didn't even speak on
man.
It.
Man, ain't that something? Yeah, man. It's
Cap
know.
Over here shaking his head.
Yeah, it's sad. Interesting. It's fucked up. It really is. But something else cool that really happened on Monday that I thought was dope. The Lucha House Party got a new member and a young lady by the name of Carolina. Who actually went ahead and
continues to help Sin Cara lose matches.
Yeah, uh-huh. Unfortunately, I was about to say that, literally. And then from what I understand...
It's okay, man. Speak your truth.
And from what I understand, she's already about to switch shows. That's the rumor. So I don't know how intelligent that was to introduce a new member and then kind of say, well, you know, here today, going tomorrow.
Sin Cara dumped her ass, basically. That's what's going on. Look, I got with you so you could help me win wrestling matches. You ain't out here wrestling.
You think they leave
matches.
The mask on when? Never mind.
Oh,
but
man.
Anyway, moving right along.
I would.
I would too.
I would too.
I would too.
I'm saying, have you seen those Lucha masks after they done been worn and how sweaty and stuff they be inside?
Mm-hmm. They're gross.
Fucking Phoenix used to sell those matches right off his face.
My man.
In Lucha Underground.
My man bought one from Bandito at PWG, and he had to wait a whole day for it to dry so he could have him sign it.
That's yeah, I've seen Drago at one of those WrestleCon events. He was selling used masks. I'm like, what is somebody supposed to do with these?
They're gross.
I mean, I'm hoping you're not wearing them.
No.
After that sweat soaks into that leather and fabric, it's just a keepsake.
Right, basically. Rusev versus Drew McIntyre on Raw.
It's weird because, again, like, it's not that Raw doesn't have talent. It's not that we don't like these guys. I like that Rusev's a face, and I like the direction that they're going with him. I think they needed to do something like that, but, like, Drew's a perfect example. What the hell are they doing with him? You know what I mean? Like, again, they just have these guys that they know can go and put them out there. They don't give their character any direction. They don't give them any motivation. And just being a badass ain't motivation for me. You know, like,
well, check this out, Kat. I heard this on, I said I heard it, read it somewhere online or whatever. But it made some sense because, so when they were pushing Roman, everybody was like, oh, we don't want Roman. They're pushing Roman down our throat or whatever, right?
Right.
But now what they're doing with Roman, everybody is cool with, to the point where it's like, oh, well, if they brought Roman back into the main title scene, it wouldn't be a big deal. Like, feel like he's earned his spot now instead of when he was getting pushed. So I feel like with guys like Braun, when Braun moved over to Raw, everybody was like, oh, man, Braun is next up. They got the Rocket on him. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then he just started doing dumb shit with them, like putting them against Saturday Night Live guys and teaming them with a 12-year-old, you know?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And even I feel like they're going to team him this Mania with fucking the Gypsy King boxer dude who he just fought.
Yep, they're going to be tag team champions.
Yeah, and it's like they're doing all this stuff with them because they're like, we know we got time with Braun. And Braun can bide his time. And then we can eventually put them in that scene. And I feel like that's what they're doing with Drew also.
Right.
Like, they know Drew can go, but Drew's got time on him.
Right.
So.
Well, it's weird, too, because it is. It's like, we have nothing for you right now, but we're going to make you look good, and we're going to keep doing things for you that you're, you know, relevant.
Right.
And I think, really, at the end of the day, the wrestlers don't care. Right? Like, as long as they're making that money, mm-hmm. as long as that money's right, they don't care. So they don't care if they're tag team champion or whatever. We care about that shit way more than they care about it, right?
Yeah.
It becomes one of those things.
But we're the ones who make the company what it is, are like, you know, they make their money off of us. Right. So we're invested, but you're saying we're more invested than the person who's actually playing the character.
We're more invested in championships and shit. But I think the thing with them is they're more invested in their characters having some substance, right?
Yeah, just something to do.
Just something to do, right? Like, we saw Drew in Impact, and Drew was such a good heel in Impact, but it was because he had all of this, like, story stuff that he was doing, and all of this, like, revenge and vengeance against Impact, and, like, so much attitude, but it was all directed in a very good way, like whenever he was in a program with somebody. Now, it's just, oh, like, they're all like fucking action figures, you know? They all come out and they do their thing, and they have their accessory with them, and they fucking, if they're a good guy or a bad guy, they march down in the way they fucking do, and then they have their match the way a fucking kid would have it, where the kid doesn't care about storylines. He's just gonna mash the kid's fucking action figures together for a little bit, and then someone's gonna win and then walk off, right? And, like,
you know what I've noticed with them in their storylines is that there's not enough of them, and the storylines seem to only be built towards pay-per-views and not built just long for, overall.
How about, or just for entertainment purposes, just to give them something to book on Raw so that they have something to talk about. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're watching a show, you know the overall storyline is going to be finished up in the season premiere or whatever. But within that overall storyline, you still have other storylines that are going on
right.
throughout that season they with different people.
Right.
And I'm saying, I don't feel like, I thought when they brought more titles in, there would be more storylines.
Right.
And it's like the women's title just gets thrown around. The women's tag titles don't mean shit. Like, you know, it's just like so many titles that people are just holding now, and there's no story going along with it.
They're lazy
even stories that don't have anything to do with titles.
I'm gonna give you the same comparison that I've given on the Steel Cage before, and this is real for me. I came into working as a sports writer for who I work for now, and I had all of these ambitions to write the way that my personality is, right? I make a lot of dumb metaphors and shit, and I'm gonna make a lot of jokes in my writing. I'm gonna try to keep it entertaining the way that I have liked writers that I've read, right? I feel like writers that I've read in like ESPN and other websites always had a sense of humor, and I always liked a particular sense of humor. I tried to bring that over. And people that edit my work and people I, you know, work with kind of zap a lot of that out of my article when I go back and check out the finished product.
And it takes all the personality out of it at that point. It just takes all the personality.
Right, right. So, but the thing is that sometimes when I'm writing my articles, the hard part is finding it, trying to make it funny. It's not like my job is to watch a baseball game and to report back on what happened. And I can make it exciting and such to a certain point. But then, like, to actually try to, like, make it a little bit more entertaining and add that bit of personality into it, that's a little extra work, right? So what ends up happening is when I see that my editor edits all of that out, after two or three articles, then I'm like, okay, well, I guess they don't want me to make those jokes anymore. Clearly, and at the end of the day, even though like that kind of hurts my pride a little bit, because creatively I want that stuff to be in there, I'm like, all right, well, if all you want is me to write about the game and not try to inject any kind of, you know, creativity personality into it, that's fine. I can do that. And that way I won't have my feelings hurt about how much you cut out of my article. I feel like what happens is like that minimal effort starts to become like, this is exactly what we wanted. And then I'm like, all right, well, screw it. I mean, I'm going to get paid the same one way or another, whether I work hard on the article or if I submit this like minimal effort about how the game went down. And I feel like that right there for me is just kind of a metaphor for like creative for WWE. They have to do this every single week, and it just becomes acceptable for them to like have this minimal effort for 2 out of the 4 weeks in a month. You know what I mean? So they do it just because it's an easier way to go about it. Like, let's just put some matches together. Whatever.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. When you're watching it and you're just like, oh, well, now we're having this Lucha House Party versus whoever match. Like, who the fuck booked that and where did that come from? Or we got this War Raiders squash match against whoever the home team boys are.
It's every like, fucking week. Exactly. Every fucking
week. Well, they're waiting for Authors of Pain to come back. But in the meantime, it's just like, y'all have nothing for the tag team champions to do.
Like, and I get it. I get where you have to like sustain it for a period of time until you get to the point where you want to be at, right? And you want to make like him look like the tag team champions look good, so you have a bunch of squash matches or whatever.
That doesn't make them look good.
It doesn't make them look good anymore. Though we're past those days, right? But I'll say this much. It works sometimes.
It works when you're squashing somebody who is known, not an unknown. Like when Goldberg was coming out and he was killing everybody, he was squashing everybody.
But jobbers mostly for 100 of those 100.
That's like saying everybody in WCW is a jobber. He was beating real people with those moves.
That was a monumental thing.
We know what the Viking experience looks like. So to see you keep on doing it over and over again on nobodies, when you do it on somebody, it's not going to be exciting. It's going to be like, okay.
What was Glacier's super kick finishing? The ice pick?
I don't know, man.
That sounds about right.
Why are you disrespecting Glacier right now?
No, we fuck with Glacier.
He was in the AEW Rumble.
Well, and yeah, he was. That's the thing about AEW is...
And let's get to AEW, because that's what the people want to hear about.
Here's the thing is for me personally with AEW, there are some things that I didn't even think I was going to like that much, right? Mm-hmm. Like when they put up on screen under their name, their win-loss record, right? In the first couple of weeks... My opinion of that was kind of an eye roll. And here we are, what, 4 or 5 weeks into it? And I was like, what's this motherfucker's win-loss record? No. I was like, well, I want to know what it is.
Exactly. And that's why Raw and SmackDown and just WWE has bullshit matches that don't matter because wins and losses don't matter.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is like something as small as seeing a win-loss record. I was complaining about this to my wife about The Masked Singer. I was like mad because The Masked Singer doesn't do anything to tell you about... They have the judges guess on who the people are in the mask, and they don't fucking put up any kind of graphic or anything about how many they've gotten right throughout the season. And I'm like, I want a fucking tally board. I want a scoreboard about who has had the most right answers throughout the season. And I'm like, it's dumb shit like that, but it is. It's like, I know this competition doesn't mean shit because these are a bunch of celebrities and there's nobody like winning a prize or whatever, but it's fucking one of those things that as a fan watching it, I want to see that competition aspect of it.
It makes it more like a sport.
It does.
And that's what it does. You're used to sports. You're used to people getting points, and you're used to ending up at something. Like, okay, if you've won all these matches, then you go to the championship. And so that's why you want to see, like, okay, there's no reason for... Like, there would be no reason for Hangman Page to get a title shot before Pac if Pac has more wins. And more wins against Paige, then you would see that and you would be like, wait, okay, you throw your paper in the air and shit. Like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Now you just broke all your rules.
This
exactly.
All is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Like, you
this
just told life. Me that this mattered the whole time, and now you just said, fuck it.
But the thing is that they're smart enough to have tournaments and shit like that. And that stuff's the stuff that's important, right? They always have some way of people doing something to get in or whatever. And that's what we want.
Like the buy-ins and stuff like that.
Stop treating it where you're just like, oh, okay, this month this guy got a title shot. Why? Look, just because.
I was thirsty as hell on that buy-in because I had
it came up so quick, and I was thinking about like my best friend's birthday and everything like that. I'm like, damn, Full Gear is today. And then I was watching the buy-in, and as that fucking clock was going down, I was like, fuck. I was like, damn, I want to watch this fucking pay-per-view. I like scrap up fucking $50 real quick. I had to ask my mom, like, mom, can you buy this pay-per-view for me? That's what sense of urgency AEW creates with their product, man.
That's fucking advertising. But that's dope though, right? And I mean, also that's kind of the purpose of like YouTube and doing shit online and having shit for free.
Just yeah, to we've give talked people about the AEW dark matches and shit. Yeah,
oh, everybody, AEW dark is
because,
great.
Because everybody's got YouTube. So if you don't have cable, if you don't have access to be able to watch the product some kind of way, you can watch it on YouTube.
And
you
it's like quality it. Matches.
And
it's
they're
not
still
like
intertwining
fucking,
story
yeah.
into the dark matches also.
And it's not like the fucking Saturday night show like we were just talking about a week or two ago with the, what was it, Kenny and Joey Janela. In that fucking
yeah.
match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that it was like a pay-per-view match.
That was a pay-per-view match that you can watch dope. For free on YouTube yeah. to this day.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is crazy.
It's dope.
Man.
Well, it's really smart advertising. Like, there's some dumbass shit on YouTube I see, and then every once in a while there's some genius move. Like, when a girl that sounds a lot like Lizzo buys advertising time on Lizzo's song so that after you fucking done listening to Lizzo, her song plays. I've seen that happen on YouTube a couple of times.
Well,
and I've been like,
great
I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. Like, there's never a better use of advertising I've ever seen than attaching your song by paying for it to some like really big artist song, just so that when people aren't fucking paying attention and it rolls over, your song plays next. My fucking playlist always just brings me shit that's like another artist anyway, so yeah. I'm used to that happening on YouTube, but it's a good use of advertising.
And that's why when you listen to G1 to the Rescue, you only get G1 to the Rescue shit, because I'm not like anybody else.
But how often do you go listen to that person that sounded like somebody or that they
I've done it advertised? Twice. I've done it twice.
Because I've done it a few times too and found out about people because the song played, and I was like, oh, this is dope. Let me go see
this person. Where did the sex and drugs dude come from?
That's how that happened.
Yeah. That's how
what was I listening to that it played that? I don't know what playlist. Somebody's album ended and then it played that.
Shout out to everybody.
Because sometimes Spotify does it where it doesn't even have shit to do with what you were just listening to. Like, if it's a commercial, it'll pop up and it'll be like, hey, you might like this. And then it'll just start playing somebody's song.
Yep,
or it'll be like, hey, this is new on Spotify, and it'll start playing this shit. But
it's important, man.
That is how I found that Nomad dude was his song came on after an album.
That's how I found out about Great, Good, Fine, Okay, which is kind of like an electronica pop sort of duo with one singer and one beat maker. I've literally found out about them just listening to like some sort of easy listening music.
That's how I found out about that Eagles group when I was playing you that
the
Mary J. Blige remix that the guys did.
Look, man, you never know. The point, especially when you're a musician, is getting someone to listen to your music, right?
Absolutely.
So however you can make that happen. I know like that one dude that opened for you, I've listened to his music quite a bit, or that you opened with at your last show. That
the first guy or the main guy?
The dude that came on after you with the long hair.
Oh, you listened to his music
dude?
Right after?
Yeah, Atwood?
Yes!
Yeah,
yes.
Right? Like, it's, you know, sometimes, like, you just, all you have to do is come across somebody one time and then they become part of your, you know, your music, you know, your playlist, whatever, right?
I'm finna bump some Atwood.
Right.
Shout out to Atwood.
And so, like, with AEW, it's kind of the same thing, right? I mean, you just got to get your viewing people to view it, eyes on it for free in whatever way, have people enjoy your product, and then they want to watch it. They might have TNT and might not be watching it, but hey, they're on YouTube and they like wrestling, and one of your clips comes up and they watch it. Next thing you know, it's smart advertising. I know WWE does it, so I'm not comparing them or whatever, but there's just things AEW does. Like when you talk about the dark matches and the fact like they talk about them being unsanctioned and not going against their win-loss record. So it's like really when you just want to fuck a motherfucker up and you don't care about it, it's going against your fucking record.
Yeah, it's like a grudge match.
It's like a grudge match,
this
right.
This is personal.
I mean, I don't know. It's cool shit, man. There's things that the only thing I don't like sometimes with AEW is the lack of like referees enforcing rules and shit. And I get it. But when you have like time limits and all this other stuff, there's certain things that need to kind of roll and actually have, you know, some rules, some things enforced, because I don't know what fucking goes in some of these matches, right? But Let's talk about Cody and Jericho.
Oh, my God. So this has been a great developing storyline that flourished into a very pacey pay-per-view match. But,
hey, G1, before you get into all that,
what's up?
I just want to know the answer to this. Was the injury real or fake?
Oh, the injury? That's real. That's real.
That's what I see people talking about online.
No, did man fell.
Did he cut himself or did he get bust open accidentally?
My man, he went face first to that fucking steel. Like when I tell you,
because I saw something that said that he's not clear for
for in ring right now. No, because when I tell you he went face first into that steel, it was like it's like somebody like diving into a pool, but it was like bow, like it was bad. I don't even mean to make light of it and make the sound effects and shit, but it was bad. Like,
you don't want to play no sound effects.
Why'd you do that?
No. He did take
ain't
it.
Right,
bro. But man, that. But you know what? That's why I appreciate the toughness of somebody like Cody to even be able to finish the fucking match.
Cody showed me in a few matches how tough he is. How that guy keeps going. Yeah. I mean, shit, he took that chair shot. From Spears
and defended it. You know what I mean? Right. Like
I was in the wrong place.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It was my fault. My
that's
bad.
Crazy.
But you know,
that's how you do your guys to make sure that they don't get caught up in some bullshit. You're like, nah.
But like the whole throwing in the towel thing and MJF, man, I'll tell you, it was good. And
I hate MJF.
The only complaint I have about it is
you knew it was coming.
Everybody knew it was coming. I wish I wanted it to like simmer for a little bit more longer. But maybe that's why I was surprised that the douchebag turn happened this fast. So it still caught me off guard just a little bit. But at the same time, nobody's surprised, you know. It's like when you have a piece of shit friend that proves to be a piece of shit, and you're just like, I fucking knew it.
I knew it about you. It was just, the last... They just had, you know, when Jericho and them was trying to get him to hit him with the chair, and he didn't. So then it was like, I get what you're saying. It could have happened a few more, like, we could have got a few more episodes of him dicking around.
Whatever. I mean, but I get it, too, also, because if they were going to have, if they're going to have Cody put his shot at titles on the line in this match and not get another one, he needs somebody else to feud with now.
Yeah, we gotta build more stories.
Yep. So now I think Cody versus MJF is gonna be
a solid program.
It's gonna be really personal. It's gonna be a lot of like, I let you sleep in my house and shit like that.
Oh yeah,
you know?
plenty of those.
But I still can't believe, going back to the promo you played to start this show, good that promo was. Right?
Off the hip, bro.
And like, there's just a couple of things there that really surprised me. Like, one is how good cursing still makes a promo. I mean, fuck, man, I'm sorry, but cursing just makes a promo so good because it's how you are when you're fired up, when you're ready to fucking really just go to war with someone.
You're not editing what you're saying when you're mad.
Right. Exactly. But then
best-selling book, A Lion's Tale, which you can get on $3.
So you can get on Amazon for $3.
Yo, but let's not act like Jericho didn't have a great promo with that video package.
The video package, bro.
That basically that mimicked Cody's video.
You know, it's important. You got to pick the right bubbly.
Yeah, right?
That's an important thing.
Yo,
what was
one of the things that I love about AEW is the freedom that they give the people that work there, because that's the shit that WWE would have stopped immediately. Like, WWE hates people getting themselves over, right. and he just saw the opportunity to be like, oh, we're just gonna run with this bubbly shit. Like, that's my new shit.
That's my
2019 2020 shit.
But that's how Jericho does, right? Mm-hmm. Jericho, I mean, hey, Chris, the list probably wasn't meant to be what it
no exactly that's
became.
What I'm saying, he does something and something just gets over. He's like, oh, you see how people react, and you're like, we're gonna keep going with this. All of that best friend shit with him and Kevin Owens,
right.
And just
right.
Shut up, you stupid idiot. Like, all of
it's also
all
good.
Of that. What was he doing? He kept getting the guy backstage name wrong.
Oh yeah, right. But I think for me the wildest thing about the Cody promo, it was something my friend Cam brought up from the South Congress podcast. He brought up the fact that it's like, isn't it wild? It's just some dude cutting a promo about how we're both entitled white dudes. Like, that's basically what the promo was like. You called me an entitled white dude? We're both entitled white dudes. Fuck you talking about? You know? Like, that's wild.
This one, low calorie. This one's better taste.
Couple options for the bubbly that Sammy Guevara brought him.
Sure.
He's like, sure. And you know, he zoned out. He kissed him on his fucking forehead.
See,
Spanish
Chris
God.
Jericho was like a father figure to me. And when I heard he was going to be facing Cody, I just knew it was over for Cody. Because Chris Jericho's the champion. That means he's the face of this company.
Le champion.
Le champion.
And because he's the champion, he's the face of this company.
I've been knowing Chris since he was 12 years old. And he was as driven back
Soul
then.
Yo, they brought back fucking. Right
brought back Virgil.
Name another
they
guy
paid the $20 of fuck money.
Than Chris Jericho. Dead ass, Cody.
Dead ass, Cody.
He got the Olive Garden buffet.
Dead ass.
With Chris the meat Jokin sauce. Man.
And you're a boy. You don't even have chest hair.
I remember when Christopher was just a young boy. God. I knew he was going to grow up to be an AEW world champion.
God damn it, I love that
heart,
so much.
I'm praying for Cody that he's
going to
survive.
Who the fuck gave you Chris the ball?
Chris Jericho, he's in the prime of his life. He's 48, the youngest AEW champion in history.
The youngest AEW champion in history.
And then fucking Jake Hager says nothing, just looks
at the camera.
Jericho is the greatest of all time.
Fucking amazing.
It's just,
bro.
You know, much love to all of Jericho, Santana, Ortiz, Sammy Guevara. Shout out to Virgil. Shout out to whoever that old white lady was. But that shit was funny.
That was, who was that? I think it was Chris Jericho's, one of his teachers.
Yeah.
I think they said it was supposed to be.
Yeah, talking about when Chris Jericho was a little boy, I knew he was going
to
be AEW.
He always wanted
champion.
To be AEW.
Who the fuck gave you a crystal ball and told you AEW?
That's what's hilarious.
What's great about this, at least to me, was between these two promos, they really highlighted the fact that Jericho is kind of like this fucking father figure for these guys that are wrestlers, right?
Right.
Because he is a goddamn legend in this business.
He really is.
So, of course, he would have like a bunch of young guys that want to be around him and be connected to him.
Impressionable youth. Like
I
want to
be
said.
Fucking, I would want to be in Jericho's inner circle myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love
so, like, there's that there's that proper motivation there for that group to even exist. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yo, hell yeah. So, like,
Before we wrap this episode up, there's a couple things that I want to do real quick.
Did we touch on SmackDown?
We did. Oh, we touched on SmackDown.
First of all, congratulations real quick to...
Well, we still got a Patreon episode to do.
Yes, so, indeed. Yes. Can I say congratulations to the New Day?
New yeah. Day?
Yes, man. Congratulations to
seven
the New
time.
Day. Seven time.
Seven time.
Seven time tag team champions, Big E and Kofi. Of course, Xavier Woods out with an injury, man. We love you, bro. We hope you get better. But he's going to be moving.
We can talk about Xavier Woods
on the
Patreon, because he's been clowning on Instagram.
Oh, okay, for sure. But no, man, much love to our guys. Can't keep Kofi without a belt for too long. We know that. But, you know, still
yeah,
sucks
I just
not
wanna...
to see him as world champ.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Aw. You know what, though? I do like the versatility. I personally like the fact that he can step into this particular role and not have it be too much of a step down.
Yeah, but I just don't like the fact that they didn't... that they didn't do anything like no him losing the belt backlash. Just I lost the belt, I don't care.
Yeah.
I lost the belt. There's no rematch.
He
there's
can't
no
challenge for it, Brock
yeah,
quit.
But he's not even talking about it. There's nobody saying anything except the announcer saying I guess he doesn't mind being tag champ now.
And I guess him as a character has completely accepted it. And that would bother me too. Like that bothers me anytime because I don't understand it. And I think everything should be built off of feuds and motivations and angers and lingering angers. And, you know, that's how face turns and heel turns all need to work and shit like that.
Right.
And they don't
fact
they don't
that
properly
you didn't,
use it. You know what I mean?
The fact that you didn't do a feud with him and fucking, I can't think of his name. What's the other superhero name?
Ricochet?
No, the other one.
The other superhero?
Yeah, the dude who... Kofi took his title shot. I can't think of his
name.
Ali. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ali.
Super. Right.
Fucking Aladdin.
Right. He is a superhero.
Yeah, they be dressing him like a superhero just like Ricochet and shit. But they should have feuded after Kofi lost the title.
Absolutely.
Because you didn't put Ali in the title picture after that. Yeah. But Ali should have been mad that Kofi got the title shot that was his. So at least you could have continued to build something off of that.
You see what I'm saying?
Instead of just saying, oh, we're just going to make you guys tag champs again.
I have this theory that most older wrestlers should be heel and most younger wrestlers should be heel. And they should be heel in different ways. The younger wrestlers should always be brash. And you should always kind of hate them because they want to come over and take the spot of somebody you like. And they should want to take it. They shouldn't care about who they step on to get to the top. So they should come off as heelish. Then you should always have your older wrestlers like Chris Jericho, who are willing to do whatever the fuck they can to hold on to the limelight and stay relevant. And then you're going to have the ones in the middle that are fucking super athletic, talented, that should be the ones that you really push.
I mean, Ric Flair went to the extent of doing a record with the motherfucking Migos.
Yeah, that's for real.
As only Ric Flair would do, because he the fucking man.
But you know, that's why I hate the fact Samoa Joe just keeps getting injured, because...
Yeah.
That's that guy, and he's not even like he's not the young guy anymore, but he's still the new guy because I don't feel like he's really did shit since he's been to the main roster. He's got like the US title, but yeah, I still feel like he should be the guy who's coming in and will do whatever to still get the get the title.
He need to be on WWE what Jericho is to AEW. I believe so. I think he got the stripes to do it.
Well, what we were saying about Jericho is like Jericho would do anything to keep the title, but Samoa Joe don't have the title yet. He's got to do whatever he's got to do to get the title.
It should be that thing, but even prior,
because that's what he was in NXT. When that's when I was liking him when he was like, "Oh, you guys aren't going to give me Shinsuke. I'm gonna just come through and murder everybody
I'll fucking take
him. And interrupt the show, and it won't be an NXT until you guys give me what I want."
If you think about it, that's the same thing that Jericho was doing during his initial New Japan run. You know what I'm saying? Because he was kind of like, you know, hey, I'm gonna just whoever want it, let's get it. And you want to put up the title, cool. If not, I'm finna keep beating your ass until you put that belt up. So I think it's a great tactic. But we will touch more on this on the Patreon episode. For those of you that have Patreon, definitely feel free to listen. For those of you that don't have our Patreon, get at Mad Mania Podcast at Patreon. Pay that money, support us. It's a lot of great incentives to being part of the gang. Also, a bigger incentive if you want to be a part of our group chat. Hey, man, make sure you pay that money. What's that, $100 tier?
Yeah.
For the group chat?
Any of you guys got a snack of the week?
Snack of the week, man. I'm going to go back into Rosario Dawson only because I was watching Men in Black 2.
You said that? You making her a snack of the week again? Or has she been one?
I don't know if she's ever been one. Remember, I'm a little late to the crew. So, like, I don't know if she's ever been one or not. But I do want to show a lot of love to Rosario Dawson because she's kind of been thrown in my face for the last couple of weeks. And I ain't even thought about it. I follow her on social media, but also there's Men in Black 2 came on one of the TV channels. I got the cable with Hulu, so it was nice to see her then. That was my introduction to Rosario.
She was in Zombieland 2.
Zombieland 2. That's what made me think about her again. I'm sorry. Yeah, Zombieland 2, man. Just looking as scrumptious as she wants to. Also, Top 5 with Chris Rock, another one of my favorite films. But yeah, man, I think.
And we told you to watch Kids. And you said you haven't seen Kids.
Yeah, yeah, gotta see Kids, man. But yeah, much love to the very beautiful, full lipped Rosario Dawson, man. Much love to Cory Booker. We know that's a dude. But hey, you got a Latina with some juicy lips. So sorry. She's cute.
Not sorry.
I mean, not sorry.
She
not
used to
sorry,
date Eric sorry. Andre.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
That's an upgrade. That's a fucking upgrade.
Dude, she was. Man.
Oh shit!
It was her and Eric Andre. I was like, "Wow,
that's crazy!"
That's crazy.
But I can.
He really outkicked his coverage.
I seen that.
He had the what Rand used to say to the HP or whatever to kick out the hit points. Because he said he kicked out. Should have been a three count. He had the one count.
I'm gonna give snack of the week to Tegan Knox.
Oh yeah, team kick.
I love Tegan Knox.
Team thick kick. And speaking of which, one last one. Her name is Jamie Hayter. She wrestled in an AEW Dark match, and that was my introduction.
Yeah,
to
we ain't just throwing out snacks of the week. Hey, all willy nilly.
I know, but I had to.
Hey, Rock, I lost control of the snack of the week.
He's gonna be.
It's like
so
three of them, so you just pick which one you want out of the three to put in the snack of the week list. Yeah.
But straight up, Jamie Hayter, that's Hayter. She's a nice little thick little booty something too. She's decent. So. We'll get into that later. But anyway.
All right, so yeah, we about to wrap this up. Check us out on the Patreon episode. On there, we'll find out what everybody's favorite match from Full Gear was.
Yeah, man. And also, definitely you want to keep up with Matt Mania Podcast. Of course, we on all your favorite social networks at Matt Mania Podcast and at Matt Mania POD on Instagram.
Make sure you check out Cap at Steel Cage.
Yes, sir. Steel Cage Podcast, man.
Let them know where.
Oh, you can get me on Twitter at Cap_Caveman with a K.
Teak.
They know where to find me. Teak_Hall on Twitter. Teak_Hall on Instagram.
At G1 to the Rescue, a.k.a. Mr. Let's Go In. And on that note, y'all, we will see you on the Patreon episode, and then we'll also see you next week with some more wrestling news. Until then, hashtag wrestling is fun. And always remember to keep your shoulders off the mat.
Yeah, man, did y'all see when Rosario Dawson's up?